Well, thank you for that quotation from Winnie the Pooh. And we move now on to the final presentation of this particular session. It's going to be given by Charles Schlumberger, who's a principal air transport specialist with the World Bank.
Thank you very much. Good morning. The World Bank is always last. We are used to it. W is at the end of the alphabet. And I was prepared in school with S. Schlumberger. I was already very to the end. So being the last speaker, I hope you still have some reserves. You don't have to go to the restroom. That reminds me, actually, 12 years ago, I was a Swiss banker. And I was invited by the World Bank to talk on the Asia crisis. And in the break, I went to the restroom, and here came the guy from World Bank. We were facing the wall. I said, so, how's it going? How's business? He looked at me and said, what do you mean? Well, we can make some money during that crisis. And he said, sorry, sir, we are not a bank. I said, what? You're not a bank? So what do you do? We do development. I said, uh-huh. And how do you do that? By policy implementation. So not money? Yeah, well, with money we implement policy. Well, I went back and eventually they sent me an invitation. I joined the bank for a year or two to see actually how that works. I had no idea how the World Bank works. And I've never thought I would stay 12 years, and I have another 12 years in front of me until mandatory retirement. But that actually taught me a lesson. We talk about the World Bank with all the money, and we don't really know in public what it is all about. And this is very important when I'm talking to you today about alternative fuels and how and if the World Bank should finance alternative fuels. I will talk very quickly about the World Bank Group and about its air transport portfolio. Then, of course, about alternative fuels, the challenges and opportunities. Then I will give examples of financing and coming to conclusions. So, the World Bank is not a bank. The World Bank is based on an international convention, an agreement, like this institution here, 1944 was the year they created many institutions, like ICAO, but in the summer when it was nice and warm, they actually met the leaders in Bretton Woods, a nice resort in New Hampshire. You should take your wife once there, it's really lovely in the fall. You never know what gets out in terms of development. Out there came something, what was called the International Monetary Fund. We needed to refinance the central banks in Europe eventually after the war. And just at the end of the convention, somebody said, but, you know, we also need to finance directly the reconstruction. And, well, they created the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. And the famous economist Keynes said at the end, but, you know. I don't understand what they really will do. Nobody was clear, but they said, well, they put some money in, and they said, let's start to finance infrastructure. The first loan went to France for the French railway, the last European loan to Portugal. 1956, they realized that we also need to finance private businesses. The banking sector didn't have enough money for development, and they created the International Finance Corporation, which focuses on private sector. 1960, when colonies became independent, they realized that the loans that the World Bank gave are quite expensive. They are LIBOR plus one sometimes, at the time 8-10%, today it's my 5-6%. And they created another system, it's a pot of money. We just refinanced it with 55 billion. And during 3 years, you are distributing that money. You're lending it at a concessional rate of 0.75% with a grace period of 10 years, or you give grants. Basically, 70% goes away, 30% is then reimbursed in real terms. And finally, we have the Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, which guarantees the political risk if you build an airport and you bring money, Fraport in Peru, for instance, then you can ensure the risk that you don't, you know, get expropriated. And finally, we have the International Court for the Settlement of Investment Disputes. So this is an organization that is in development and provides financing for the implementation of development policies. What does that mean? Well, in terms of money, if you look, this is the current air transport portfolio, but it basically, this is the World Bank's active portfolio. And this is one of the most difficult things I'm doing every year to find out the figures. Because, again, we are not the bank. We have very few bankers in the World Bank. But basically what you see up on this corner here is we have an active portfolio of $166 billion. If you take all the money that is still owed and has to be reimbursed, it's probably about $280 billion. That's the whole World Bank group. And the three most important institutions, these who lend to governments, have together about $130 billion. And IFC lending to the private sector about $30 billion. Fine. The transport sector, and that's what we are interested in, is about 15% of the World Bank. Here we have about 28 billion, 1.6 at IFC. And the most important sector for all the people here, including myself, of course, is air transportation. Not even a percent. And with the 1% of the World Bank, with about 1.4 billion, 650 million at IFC, and the rest lending to governments, and 30 projects to governments, and about 26 projects to IFC. Why do I tell that when I talk about alternative fuels? Again, the most important is aviation for us. But if I'm going back on Monday into the bank, well, the least important is aviation. Oh, you know, that's for the rich and so. Do we do anything in aviation? The reason is that development traditionally, of course, focuses on the construction, on infrastructure, on agricultural, on health, on private sector, public sector, etc., on environment. We heard yesterday our colleague saying, well, we have this clean technology fund, climate change, $5 billion. $5 billion is three times what we have in air transportation. Three times. Just to address climate change. Just free money. That's the first message that I have to say. We are not talking about biofuel to help aviation here. Of course, I do. We do. But talking to the World Bank, we are talking about the environment. We might talk helping developing countries to start businesses, create jobs, maybe helping the agricultural sector. But if we talk environment, then we are in business. So what does that mean if I make a presentation? You're expecting me to say, here are the forms. Take the red form for $1 billion, take the green form for $500 million, and the brown form if it's private sector. That is not the case. You will hear another presentation this afternoon. You had one yesterday from my colleagues to explain the instruments. But very important is, what's the World Bank's role in alternative fuels? And there are three elements on this. First of all, the World Bank is right now rewriting and redefining its energy strategy, and this one does include sustainable liquid alternative fuels. This strategy will be based or will develop a policy framework for the production of alternative fuels, and sustainability must be based on several elements, and I show them now with the challenges how the World Bank sees them. First of all, it has to be a greenhouse gas emission saving. It has to be resulting in a savings. The regulation of land use for the growing of biofuels specifically and feedstocks is absolutely essential. And also there need to be certain minimal social standards. Then the financing is available. Financing already today is available. Now, as I said, we right now have a draft paper. By the way, the World Bank is becoming totally transparent. Starting the 1st of July, we have absolutely no secrets anymore, except very, very big exceptions. So even my back-to-office report, you can go to the internet and read it. I personally like it. And if you're interested in what air transportation does, we even have an annual report on air transportation that describes all the projects. It's on the web. You just Google it. The policy research we are doing on alternative fuels is based, first of all, on the Food and Agricultural Organization and the United Nations Environmental Program, and also on World Bank research. And we are looking on several challenges. Again, if we are talking environment, we are in business. Greenhouse gas reductions, and we heard it very well of Paul Steele today, We need to look at the life cycle, the total life cycle of the different alternative fuels. Some are excellent, some are very bad. But the land use change is really what makes the difference, and there are a lot of specialists calculating. It's a moving target, we know that, but we need to make the case there that it has a positive effect on greenhouse gases. If it does not have a positive effect, well, we are still financing it anyway, as you will see, because as Keynes said, I don't know how this World Bank functions, and it's a zoo with a lot of cages. So sometimes IFC goes out and has, and you will be surprised what we already finance in the different biofuels, not aviation yet, of course, because there we have the business case, and the environmental argument was not yet so important when that was done. Now, you saw that graph, I'm sure. But here, that's really what we are looking at. Certain biofuels, the top ones, palm oil based, the land use change creates a lot of CO2. Basically, if the land absorbs all that CO2 over millions of years and sleeping, and now they come and change it and start cultivating and releases a lot of CO2, it's very negative. Compared to the very positive ones, biomass, waste treatment, we heard it, heard it again in another presentation, where you actually get a lot of biomass credits and you actually have a very active reduction of greenhouse gases. So the first question we have to ask is, which one are we financing here? Which is the most effective one with an environmental effect? Now, what wasn't talked much about is the food situation. We know, we saw with the ethanol business, that palm oil, soy oil, the prices have doubled with the oil price also going up. Energy prices have risen. And policies in Brazil, Europe and the US have actually encouraged the rapid expansion of production of biofuel and food crops. That's fine for us again, but the problem is that the world population seems to continue to grow. And the World Bank looks at the big picture. Then I'm told by these guys from the agricultural sector, we're going up to 7 billion in 20 years, and we need to increase the production of cereal by 50% and meat by 85%. And we're already at the maximum output of yields. Oil is getting more expensive. We need more land. And we start being in competition. Well, then we come and say, don't worry. You know, we have these Camelina or Chatrofa who actually use land where you can't do food crop. Well, but then you have limited agricultural parents. It's like the poppies in Afghanistan. We'll make more money with biofuel than with bread. So this is a controversy that I hear again and again within the World Bank. Another thing is water. We are very concerned, not because of biofuels, but globally, water is getting one of the biggest challenges. And agriculture is using already 85% of fresh water, and that is something that at least needs to be regulated and needs to be thought after. Large-scale production of crop-based biofuels will create a challenge in certain countries for water availability. Just a scale-up, and I know we all agree there will be different alternative fuels and you will never replace 100% of jet fuel, which only represents 6% of a barrel of oil, with one, let's say, Chatrofa. And we not take over Argentina and just put Chatrofa there. But that is the size you need for it. Camelina is a little bit smaller, Mexico. Well, algae, you need water, but still, you need the size of Ireland and you need to manage that, you need infrastructure, you need time. So the scale-up of production to replace it, 2030 in the best case, that's huge. That is tremendous. That's a very big challenge. It is not a no-go or a showstopper, something to remember. Also, the question was asked, could you help us to develop the biofuels? And the answer is no, yes. What do you mean? Well, it is easy for us to finance something that is certified, and we can certainly not finance something that is not certified. However, we have funds to develop new technologies to address climate change. These are my colleagues that you heard yesterday and maybe this afternoon. There are funds available there. It is not the focus of air transport, my specialty. There are funds. But the pure question, okay, now we have biofuels, like we have ethanol, IFC is coming in, private business, they will not finance anything that isn't certified. There are certain funds available, but there I have my colleagues that will talk to you. Now, so much negative, typical World Bank. We explain for hours why it's a bad business, and then we do it, go out and finance it anyway. So, what are the opportunities? Well, it's very clear. The whole discussion on biofuel and what we could do in it really started to accelerate over the last couple of months. I wrote an article, which I published privately at McGill, because the World Bank doesn't yet take a position, and I researched it. On the one hand, we see a great opportunity to address climate change in the transport sector, specifically air transportation, who is the first sector who creates a standard around the globe. My colleagues in road, they say, well, we'll finance some hybrid buses in Mexico. And then the maritime guy says, well, we need to do something to bunker fuel in the maritime organization. But there is no global standard. So here we have an opportunity in the transport sector to address climate change. On the other hand, all the red flags coming on, up. And the other good news is, and now surprise, the IFC is actually financing biofuels. So what are they doing? Small. Remember, looks big, 20 million. We have a 160 billion portfolio. These are recent ethanol projects of IFC, the International Finance Corporation. 20 million, about 250 million if you add it all together, in Guatemala, in Nicaragua, sugarcane, ethanol, and power generation. So we're already in the business through IFC. There it is a pure focus on developing countries, creating jobs, creating energy, some energy security, and we don't have a problem with that. It is, of course, not suitable for aviation, as we heard. We also are financing biomass projects. There are several ones in India and Indonesia in preparation. What is interesting with this is that I feel, in all my discussions I have, biomass to jet fuel is probably the least controversial. And that's something we should look at closer, because then all the guys with agricultural and with water and with land use change, they can remain in the other room and we do business. Also, we have financed a couple of years ago some gas to liquid alternative fuels here for vehicle in Mexico. We have financed some other ethanol-based energy. We have certain experience with alternative fuels. Again, it's an 11,000 employee institution with a 160 billion portfolio. These are very small operations, but we are starting to do it. And finally, we are even financing and preparing right now a $100 million investment where we produce jet fuels in Egypt on residual oil. And we have another in Russia where we are looking at refinery, kerosene, hydrogen, and jet fuels. So in all the areas we are discussing, IFC has done first steps. Conclusion. There are various instruments at the World Bank Group to finance alternative fuels. But these alternative fuels need to be sustainable, and they should have a positive greenhouse gas reduction effect. If they don't have it, it's very difficult and it will be marginal. The World Bank Group is actively examining alternative fuels on sustainability. And we are defining strategy and policy framework for our client countries for the financing of the deployment of alternative fuels in developing countries. And finally, the good news is that we are already doing it through IFC on a limited basis, but we are already in business. Thank you very much.